And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Kansas City will host what organizers say will be a major event this weekend. It's not exactly going up on the Convention and Visitors Bureau website, though. The National Socialist Movement will hold a rally at the Jackson County Courthouse Sunday afternoon. The group calls itself a white civil rights organization. Watchdog groups uniformly call it a hate group, racist, anti-Semitic, and dangerous. Joining us to talk about the state of hate groups and about what some in this community and in others are doing to oppose them is Mark Poduk of the Southern Poverty Law Center. He joins us by phone from Montgomery, Alabama. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, pleasure to be here.
And Leonard Zeskind. He runs the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights from here in Kansas City. He's the author of Blood and Politics, The History of White Nationalism from the Margins to the Mainstream. Leonard, welcome back to the KCUR.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Leonard Zeskind and others are staging a counter-protest on Sunday. We'll talk about that, too. But, Mark, let me start with you. What is the National Socialist Movement, and why would they come to Kansas City?
Well, it is today the largest neo-Nazi group in the United States, in part by default. Several of the other major neo-Nazi formations essentially have collapsed in the last 10 or 12 years. Leaving NSM the largest. That means they've got some 55 chapters in about 30 states. This is a group that was formed back in 1974, essentially out of the remnants of the old American Nazi Party, or by several officials of the old American Nazi Party.
So how many people do we think there are in the group?
Well, it's hard to say how many are in the group. I can tell you without any question, and I'm sure Lenny agrees with this, that they will certainly not have 1,000 people in Kansas City. You know, if they are lucky with some other groups that may be sending members as well, they might get 100, although I doubt it'll even be that many.
And this is a group that used to dress up as Nazis for their demonstrations. They have to know that's not good PR. So what's the point?
What's the point? Well, I mean, NSM over the years has specialized in sort of provocations. They are very much about getting into the news. They, for instance, probably their most successful action, if you can call it that, was back in 2005 in Toledo, Ohio, where they went to a black inner-city neighborhood and essentially, hiding behind a wall of riot police, yelled racial epithets at the very largely black crowd to the point where the police ushered them out. They thought a riot was about to happen, and in fact there was violence from the anti-racist crowd, from the local crowd, directed ultimately against the police. The Nazis had been bussed out by the police. There were 100 arrests that day. And, you know, I say it was something of a victory for the NSM in the sense that none of them were arrested. And afterwards, they essentially crowed about, you know, this showed, you know, what black people were really like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've engaged in that kind of business. I mean, they're a very down-in-the-gutter kind of group. You're right. They used to dress up in full Nazi regalia. These days they're into Italian fascist outfits, these black battle dress uniforms, BDUs. So their outfits are a little different these days. But I think what gives a sense of what the group really is, aside from its rhetoric, which is, you know, straight up Nazi rhetoric about Hitler, you know, the Fuhrer being the greatest man in history and so on, is the tale of its leader, Jeff Scope. Jeff Scope, back in 1998, then already the leader of this group, was caught burglarizing with his girlfriend an apartment for some $4,000 worth of computer equipment. While they were carrying out this burglary, this charming couple left four kids, their four children, or I think only one of them was actually Jeff's child, in the getaway car.
Right.
You know, so that's the kind of group we're really talking about here.
I'm going to invite our listeners to chime in as well. I want to ask what you think about groups like the National Socialist Movement coming to town, and what do you think would be an appropriate response when a hate group comes to Kansas City? Give us a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. You can also email centralstandard@kcur.org. Lenny Zeskind, how significant is it that the NSM chose to have this gathering here in the Kansas City metro area?
Well, the National Socialist Movement came here in 2005 and had a national convention, and it was largely unopposed. They had a conference out at the Overland Park Hotel, and they came in for a big Hitler birthday celebration in full uniforms at a German restaurant that no longer exists on Warnell Road. And they didn't get any opposition, and so those of us in the community are starting to organize an event at Liberty Memorial on Saturday at 3 o'clock, and we're going to stand up and show them that we don't want them here. The city council has already passed a resolution opposed to the NSM, and most of the major civil rights organizations have already said that they'll participate in this event. The immigrant rights groups are participating in this, and we expect to have a very mainstream, nonviolent, non-confrontational event on Saturday at Liberty Memorial. It will stand up and say no to bigotry and no to the neo-Nazis.
And you mentioned the city council passing a resolution. Other groups have done the same, as you said. Does that do any good? Is that an important thing?
Oh, you bet some Red Ryder. The city council's resolution was very important, setting the tone that this city will take towards the National Socialist Movement. If more cities pass resolutions opposing them when they show up, they would have a smaller set of audiences. And I agree with Mark. They live on confrontation. We're not going to confront them. We're going to let them talk to themselves and have our event at Liberty Memorial. The city council resolution was very important in setting the tone for this city.
Let me clarify, too. I misspoke a few minutes ago when I said the rally was on Sunday. It's on Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, Liberty Memorial.
That's the counter-protest to the rally that the National Socialist Movement group is having at the Jackson County Courthouse steps. I guess I'm curious from you, Mark Potok, how this fits into the broader context of hate groups generally and of sort of white nationalist groups. Is this group growing? Are other groups growing? Are we seeing a decline in hate groups in America right now?
You know, over the last 10 years or so, actually, we've seen a steady growth on the part of hate groups, not super dramatic, but, you know, 4, 5, 6%, at least by our counts, over the years since about 2000. We've seen other parts of the radical right, though, expand and expand dramatically since the fall of 2008. And what I'm speaking of are the groups we all used to refer to as militia groups, the so-called patriot organizations that we all saw so much of back in the 1990s. That has been really astounding. By our count, there were a mere 149 of those groups in 2008. And as of last year, that number had reached 1,360, an over 800% rise. I think what's really
that's parallel to the Tea Party rise at the same time.
That's right. So we're seeing elements of the populist right, of the white nationalist right, of the so-called patriot right, all expanding and expanding very quickly. I think it's worth pointing out that, of course, the fall of 2008, the spring of 2009, that is precisely the period of the rise to power of Barack Obama, our first black president. So, you know, what we're really talking about is a reaction, at least on some level, not only to the particular black man who was in the White House, but what that black man represents. And that is the loss of a white majority in this country that's been predicted by the Census Bureau for about 30 years from now, for about 2043. The other thing I think to point out is that
concrete loss. It's also a concrete loss of the white monopoly on the presidency.
That's right. And the other thing, of course, is that at the very same time in the fall of 2008, we saw in October the subprime collapse and all of the subsequent economic wreckage. So I think that certainly
so it all feeds
some,
in
anger,
yeah,
and fear and so on,
sure,
on the part of these people, and that has helped these groups grow as well, I think.
Let's take some calls from our listeners who have some thoughts about this visit and about our conversation about it. 816-235-2888 is the number to call, 235-2888. John is calling from Parkville. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning. And my major comment today is I look at groups like this, and I see, and I'm politically conservative. I'm almost Tea Party. I think I'm libertarian. But I see these people as being completely bereft of any intellectual idea. There is absolutely nothing that says that color of skin matters to intellect. There's nothing that says that family heritage matters to intellect or emotion. They're pitching a bunch of garbage.
Right. So what's the attraction,
so
John?
My idea is instead of giving them their 15 minutes of fame on the local news, and you know that every station in town will be there, plus people from CNN and the national media, let them have their protest.
Okay, John, I appreciate...
Surround them with police for safety, and let them just be alone. Have a great counter-protest that gets covered someplace else, but...
Sure.
Let these guys... Ignore these guys.
Okay, John, I appreciate that. I need to take
a
couple... couple other calls here, too. And before you answer that, Mark, I think we've got a similar comment here from Scott in Lawrence. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was around in an underground music movement when the White Aryan Resistance and the Metzgers and all of those folks were running around doing this sort of skinhead thing, and the Southern Poverty Law Center was instrumental in sort of trying to figure out what was really happening in that. So respect them, but the Tea Party seems to be very different than what seems to be a collapsing neo-Nazi socialist movement. Seems to me to be more of the variable of the economy. I don't think they would associate themselves. And when you see these sorts of rallies condensing to a point where you're talking about 100 people, it reminds me of the Phelps, who are able to take, you know, a dozen people and be on the news every 3 days, and they're provocateurs rather than people who are like the Tea Party. Well, I'm not particularly sympathetic with, but I do think that they have very different agendas.
Right.
And the provocateurs.
Scott, if you could finish up. Go ahead, Scott. Just finish up, please.
Well, I think the provocateurs are clearly rewarded by the attention, and the people who find themselves disempowered, whether that's rightfully or not, like the Tea Party folks, have an agenda that at least seems like it's solution-oriented, even though it's not to me.
Okay, Scott, I appreciate your call. And I guess the question for both you, Lenny, and Mark is both these callers in one way or another are making the point that by giving them attention, you're giving them what they want. I mean, should we even be doing this program? Are we making it worse?
Well, if I could say something about that and leave, I think Lenny is very schooled up on the Tea Parties and the best person to respond to that part of the question. You know, what I would say about the coverage, news coverage, is, you know, once upon a time, you could adopt a strategy like that. We'll simply ignore them, pretend they're not there, and they won't get the attention they're seeking. But in today's environment, with the blog world, with all kinds of media outlets, it is simply impossible to do that. I mean, back in the 60s, during the days of the American Nazi Party, a lot of the Jewish agencies, organizations, had a policy of quarantine. Their idea is they would go to newspaper publishers, people who ran television stations, and ask them not to cover the rallies of the American Nazi Party, and they were quite successful for a time. Now, given all of the many media outlets and citizen media, you know, journalism and all of that, I think the strategy has to be inoculation. In other words, in addition to what Lenny and his allies are doing, which is, I think, very important, and important to do it in the way they're doing, away from where the Nazis are actually meeting, You know, I think what we hope for is coverage that is accurate. So, okay, we're sort of forced to talk about the National Socialist Movement and who they are and the coming rally and so on. Let's also point out, as for instance, I tried to, you know, what Jeff Scope really is, what these people are really like, and that the theory, at least, is that that will inoculate 99% of the public against thinking that this group is somehow just standing up for, you know, white pride
sure.
and the accomplishments of white people and so on.
Lenny Zeskin, beyond coming to the counter-protest at 3 o'clock Saturday at the Liberty Memorial, what else, and maybe in the longer term, what else can communities do to overcome hate?
Well, I don't use the term hate. I think the appropriate discussion is these are white nationalist groups that want to carve out a whites-only territory. I think that we all should be active in our community, civic action against racism and against anti-Semitism. We should be working for justice all across the board, economic justice, civil justice, and so forth. I think we still have to stand up against the NSM and tell them Kansas City is going to say no. That's an absolutely essential point of all this. I want to make one comment about the Tea Party.
About 10 seconds, Lenny. Go ahead.
The core of the Tea Parties is still growing, even as the percentage of the population that supports the Tea Parties is decreasing.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. I want to thank our guests. That was Leonard Zeskin of the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights. He's from here in Kansas City. Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center joined us from Montgomery, Alabama. Thanks to both of you.
A pleasure.
You can subscribe to our podcast. You can hear this conversation again. You can access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page at kcur.org. Join us tomorrow for Central Standard as we explore the minimum wage laws of this country. Stay tuned now for up-to-date with answers to your questions about pet behavior. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz and Sydney Llewellyn. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.